Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Daddy, we bless you again. Thank you for such a time as this. To be in your presence, Father God, to dwell on your word. Father, please give us understanding, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord, beloved. We want to continue today on where we stopped last time. We were speaking about hindrances to Christian growth. And we're speaking still on the doctrine of Balaam. And we were speaking still on an example of that doctrine of Balaam, which is the doctrine of once saved, always saved. So-called doctrine of eternal security. Once we profess faith in Christ, whatever we do after that is immaterial. It doesn't matter. We will go to heaven. We will always be accepted of God. We will, regardless of the life we live after that. As I recounted in one of the earlier episodes, a lady once told me, I did not contribute to my salvation, and I can't do anything that would detract from the salvation. So my salvation runs on a separate track, and my life runs on a separate track. If my life track includes all manner of debauchery and sin and iniquity and so forth, it doesn't matter because my salvation is on a separate track. The doctrine of Balaam, the Lord says, is a stumbling block, Revelation 2:14, and he wants his people to repent, Revelation 2:16. Now, we were speaking about Paul, and we were looking at if this doctrine was something he espoused. This is something he taught. Paul didn't teach this doctrine. So we're looking at his life, kind of line upon line, so we can get what Paul taught in the epistles. And last time we stopped at Acts 9, verse 10 to 18, because we were talking about his life. We spoke about Paul or Saul while he was a terrorist. We spoke about him, how he got saved, became a believer. Then we're speaking in Acts 9, 10 to 18, how the Lord sent Ananias to go meet him, to pray for him to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost and to be baptized in water. And in that same place, Acts 9, verse 10 to 18, specifically verse 15, we see how the Lord testified of Saul, Paul, same person, that he was a chosen vessel, not chosen of man, but chosen of God. So in the same, let's continue in the same Acts chapter 9, verse 19 to 22, we see Saul the preacher. You know, we've seen Saul the terrorist. We've seen Saul the believer. We've seen Saul that has been baptized, the chosen of God. Then we now see Saul the preacher. Acts 9, 19 to 22. And when he had received meat, that's Paul, after he ate, or Saul, I should say, at this point, he was strengthened because he had been fasting. I believe it was 3 days. And he received meat and he was strengthened. Then was Saul setting days with the disciples which were at Damascus. verse 20 now, Acts 9, and straight away he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Straight away. Verse 21, and all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which call on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? They knew Saul was a destroyer, a terrorist. They knew who he was. They knew he was a thug. They knew who he was, a righteous thug, a righteous terrorist. He thought he was doing God some good by killing the Christians, by arresting the Christians, by beating up the Christians, by wreaking havoc on the church of God. But they're not saying, is this the same Saul? Verse 22 now, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwell at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Wow. We see Saul again being selected again by divine selection by the Holy Ghost. We see that in Acts 13, verse 1 to 3. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Acts 13. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Again, we see that Saul is a chosen vessel. If we didn't see it the first time, we're seeing it the second time. Saul is a chosen vessel. I'm going somewhere. We're going somewhere. Just stay with me. We're going somewhere. We're talking about the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine that is exemplified in the doctrine of once saved, always saved. The doctrine of Balaam that the Lord says is a stumbling block for his children. If they hold that doctrine, they will stumble and fall. So they have to let go of the doctrine so they don't stumble and fall. That's the logic. If you hold this doctrine, you will stumble and fall. So you have to repent and let go of this doctrine so that you don't stumble and fall. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. We see again that Saul was a chosen vessel. Let's look at some other things about this Saul or Paul. Saul was a man that walked in direct divine revelation. It wasn't from no Hebrew scholars. I'm not knocking anybody. Please don't get me wrong. Or Gentile scholars. No. Paul was walking in direct divine revelation. Galatians 1:11-20. Let's read that. Let's read that. I mean, we ain't doing nothing else. You might as well just read the Bible. Yeah. Just, I know you don't want to. It's not me you want to hear, beloved. Trust me. I don't want to hear me. I want to hear what God is saying. That's what I want to hear. And his words say better than my words. So let's look at it, Galatians 1:11-20. Paul is speaking now, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. No. I didn't go get it. I didn't go get my belief system. from the Moabites, from the world. Right. Oh, well, help me, Jesus. Remember, guys, what is the origin of the doctrine of Balaam? Go back some episodes and you see that. You see that the children of Israel lent it from Moab. What did they learn? They learned fornication, that it doesn't matter. They learned eating food sacrificed to idols, it doesn't matter. When the Lord had expressly told them before, don't commit adultery. You are a holy people unto me. Don't defile yourself. Don't serve idols. He told them before. But they chose to believe Moab. It's all right. We're just friends. You know, let's just hook up together. And they ended up defiling themselves. And the curse that could not come for them to be destroyed ended up coming upon 20-something thousand of them that put it on themselves because of their defilement, because they defiled themselves. So we see Paul saying, Galatians 1, verse 11, this gospel I'm preaching you is not from man. Okay, I didn't go get it from the world. I got it from Daddy. I got it from the Lord. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The same way, beloved, oh Lord, help me. Okay. I challenge you, beloved. That's what came to my spirit. I would just say it. I challenge you, beloved. You dig into God's word and he will show you his word. If it's not in his word, trash it. You dig into his word and he will show you his word. If you are, I'm not saying don't read a book. Whatever you are reading, whatever you are studying, go back to the word to see if it is in the word. If it's not in the word, we have an obligation to trash that thing we have read from the world. The children of Israel did not cross-check what Balak was teaching them, the Moabites. They did not go back and say, but the Lord told us this and it's contrary to that. They didn't do that. They were carried away by the friendliness of the Moabites because they didn't come out and fight them directly. They rather befriended them and were polluting them from within. So, Lord help me. Galatians 1:11. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. These are not man's theories. God's word, not man's theories. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I was a bad guy. I wasted the church of God. I persecuted the church of God. Verse 14, I'm profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. I was profiting. I was being promoted. I was going higher and higher because of my zeal to waste the church of God. Verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Again, we see, if we didn't already know it, that Paul was a chosen vessel. Not chosen of man, not chosen of the high priest, not chosen of anybody, but chosen by God before he was born. I want us to remember that. It's important. Paul was chosen by God even before he was born. Verse 16. Or let me continue from 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. What other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Paul is saying, listen, guys, God taught me what I'm telling you. I didn't get it from man. We see, therefore, that Paul had access to the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Was he talking about Paul now? We're talking about Paul now. He was proficient in tongues. What did he say? He was writing a letter to a church. Look at what he said. He wasn't boasting. He was just saying, in a matter-of-fact way, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. I thank God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Oh, so you think you can speak in tongues? Okay. Paul says, writing to the Corinthians, I can speak in tongues more than the whole church. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a minute. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Was he talking about Paul now? Paul is saying, I didn't come preaching to you with ear candy. You know, I've heard about eye candy, you know. But this is ear candy, something that sounds good, you know, that feels good. You know, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that's really nice. Paul said, I didn't come with that. I came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So we see that Paul was a man of power. He was a man of the Spirit. We see that 1 Corinthians 4, 19 to 20. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Paul says, look, forget these nice speeches. The kingdom of God is not about speeches. The kingdom of God is about power. And I'm going to demonstrate that power to you. First Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Romans 15, verse 18 to 19. For I will not dare to speak of any of these things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through mighty signs and wonders, not just signs and wonders, but mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. This is Paul, guys. We've been talking about Paul. Paul the terrorist. Paul that became a believer. Paul that was chosen of God, baptized in the Holy Ghost and in water. Paul that became the preacher. Paul that was shown, selected again by the Holy Ghost. Paul that was walking in divine revelation. Paul that had access to the mysteries of God and was a steward of the mysteries of God. Paul that was proficient in tongues. Paul that was endued with spirit and power. That Paul, not another Paul, that Paul. Listen to what he now says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to verse 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that you may obtain. Run to win. That's what he's saying. Run to get the prize. He says not everybody that's running will get the prize. Oh, help us, Jesus. Oh, Lord, may I not run in vain. May my brothers and sisters listening to me right now, may they not run in vain, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 25, 1 Corinthians 9, 25. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, anybody that's running to win a race has restraints about him. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. The guy that's training for a marathon, he's not going to sit down 2 minutes before the race and say, you know what, I'm hungry. Let me go and eat 3 roasted chicken, 5 cobs of corn, 3 loaves of bread, and a bowl of ice cream because I'm hungry. No. I sound silly. Forgive me. But I'm trying to use silly examples. Paul says, those that strive to win this race, they are temperate in all things. They are restrained because the Spirit of God in them is one of the manifestations of the Spirit. It's self-control. It's restraint. Guiding us what to do, what we ought not to do. That's what he's talking about here. Now, he says, going further, verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm not going to run in vain. Listen to verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The doctrine of eternal security? Really? Paul says, listen, guys, I'm preaching to you guys, but I myself am running my own race, although I'm preaching to you guys to run your race. The coach that is coaching the athletes to run a race to win the medal is himself running his own race to win his medal. He has been employed by the governing body to train those people to run their races to win. But because he's employed doesn't mean he gets an automatic gold medal. It doesn't work like that. He has to run his own race to get his own medal. And he says, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. Paul says there is a possibility, which I'm doing by the grace of God, my utmost, by his grace, to avoid. What is that possibility? The possibility is I can preach to you guys and be a castaway. The doctrine of once saved, always saved is not scriptural. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have said this, for example. What is this business of being a castaway? What is this? I'm glad you asked. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 25. Listen to what the Lord says. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Even Jesus said, you can gain the world and lose yourself and be a castaway. And he's talking in the context from verse 23, if any man will come after me, he's talking to his followers. Yeah, Paul can preach to multitudes and they are saved, and he himself be cast away. God help me. Matthew 13, 47 to 50, Jesus is speaking again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast out, cast into the sea, and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down, and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Beloved, none of us wants to be cast away. Paul says, I myself, I need to live my life so that I don't be cast away. So what are some of the things Paul was doing so that he will not become a castaway? Let's look at a few examples. See how Paul was living his life. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 to 13. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Keeps going back to these same things. I put my body under. The body is not for fornication. What did the doctrine of Balaam say? Doctrine of Balaam said, Balak taught the children of Israel to commit fornication and eat food sacrificed to idols. Basically, they defile themselves. Their body, that is the temple of God. And Paul is saying, listen, guys, all things are lawful for me, but I will not do what is lawful for me in a manner that would cause me to be subjected to that thing. I will not do it in a manner that will subject me to become in bondage, and it ultimately lead to my destruction. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And he ties it there. I don't know how he does that, but he ties it there in verse 13, talking about meats for the belly and belly for meats. From verse 12, Paul says this: all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Look at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. Verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Again, Paul is careful to say, put my body under. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm chosen of God. I was chosen before I was born. Yes, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, all things are lawful for me. However you want to interpret that. But I will not defile myself, because I can tell that God destroys those that defile themselves. I can see from the scriptures. I understand that because God chose me from before I was born, I can understand that though God has endued me with power and the Holy Ghost, even though God has anointed me, even though God has given me his mysteries, even though I speak in tongues more than the whole church, even though I do all that, if I defile my temple, this temple that God lives in, I'll be a castaway. Beloved, Paul did not subscribe to the doctrine of once saved, always saved. It's not scriptural. But those that hold on to this doctrine, in their minds, are divided. They divide it in their minds and say, you know what? On track A is my salvation. On track B is my life. They may be going south. Track A may be going south, and track B may be going north. At the end of the day, I'll still be saved. It doesn't work like that. God bless you, beloved. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.